This is The State of Things. I'm Melinda Pancava. And today, Tiff Merritt. Her second album, Tambourine, has just hit the stores. And on this CD, Tiff Merritt is rocking it out a little bit harder than before. Tiff Merritt is North Carolina's most critically acclaimed alternative country singer-songwriter. After the release of her first album, Bramble Rose, a few years ago, Time magazine named Tiff Merritt one of the top 10 artists of 2002. Well, her second album was released last week, and it has a rockier sound than earlier, but it's still grounded in that voice that some compare to Emmylou Harris, Dusty Springfield, and Bonnie Raitt. And you'll be hearing more of her voice this hour because Tiff Merritt is with us today as we sample her new CD. Welcome to the State of
Thank
Things.
Thank you for having me.
And we welcome your calls this hour. If you want to join the conversation, our number is 1-877-962-9862. Well, Tiff Merritt, we've been using the word rockier and brassier to describe this new CD. That's a change for you.
You know, it's if you've ever seen my live show, this CD, I think, is much more about the energy that we have always had live. And so to me, this all feels very, very much like coming into my own. Mm-hmm. I think there was, you know, there's a lot of pressure the first time you go into the studio to say, I've got to do something really serious and lasting, and I got to say what I really mean. And I think after touring Bramble Rose, I really, really wanted to capture the feeling of abandon that we were able to achieve every night on stage. Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted this record to have a lot of joy and a lot of energy and a lot of celebration.
Right. And on stage, you do cover tunes from time to time. But
sure.
Most of the stuff on this CD are your own
compositions. Yeah, no, I think that my music is definitely rooted in my writing. If I weren't writing, I don't think I would be able to get up on stage and feel comfortable asking for everybody's attention.
Really? Now, but when you started out, unless you were writing from a very young age, when you started out, were there tunes that you covered?
Oh, yeah, there are always cover songs. That just as a music fan, you learn. I think it's important to get inside other people's music. But I always wanted to be a writer, and that's how I came to music. Was you know, I didn't think that my voice was anything that people would come to see. I felt like music was such a special thing that I didn't assume that I would be able to participate. But somehow I've always had plenty to say, so I've always wanted to be a writer.
Yeah. So when did you make that brave move and get on a stage and decide, okay, maybe people will want to listen to what I have to say, to what I have to sing?
It was when I met Zeke Hutchins, who's the drummer in the band. Mm-hmm. I had certainly played out in bars and tried to make a go of it and tested the waters, but I had never really been comfortable. And I'd usually been by myself, you know, with drunk guys, and it just wasn't my thing. And I really, when Zeke pushed me to, not literally, but he said, you need to do this. We need to have a band. And he brought his drums over to my house and set them up in the kitchen. And it really, the time that we have had as a band really gave me room to grow and time to have a supportive group of people around me where I could find my confidence. So it really was when we started this band.
And it was the Carbines early mm-hmm. on. And mm-hmm. you played around North Carolina. This is about 5-6 years
yeah.
ago.
We're yeah.
late 90s. And,
yeah.
Yeah. And got a bunch of critical acclaim. You put out
yeah.
a 45 and then the last CD.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's just really unbelievable where we have, how we've grown. Yeah. And to find people that can grow with you is really, I'm lucky.
Yeah. No, and this is music that you went to the beach.
I did.
To write.
I did. I put a lot of pressure on myself. And, of course, I wanted this record to be something that was something that I was very proud of. And I needed to find a place to write. and I couldn't find anywhere where I could make noise all the time.
And you had been living in the Triangle area, in Chatham County area?
Yes, I'd been living in Hillsborough. And I ended up finding this very simple house through a friend where it's just me and my dog and the piano, and I learned to surf. And I've been able to spend a lot of really great time by myself. So I love living at the beach.
did surfing in any way influence any of these songs?
I think the calming influence of surfing probably had a hand in these songs, just because the ocean and the tide certainly has a way of putting the music industry into perspective.
What kind of perspective does it need? You have made headlines before taking on the music industry.
We could talk about this all afternoon, but I just think that my heart and my music have to be what puts all of that into perspective and not the other way around.
Mm-hmm. But this time around, when I was asking before about why go for a rockier sound, you're saying this is what you do in your live performance, but is that also a bid to get it on more radio stations? Because in the past, it's been it's a little quieter. It's been more alternative country. Mm-hmm. And there aren't many places that will, in the commercial radio side of things, that'll play that.
You know, my career goal has always been to keep playing. And I don't think that I would be able to sit down and write a song saying, okay, this is the one that I want to get on the radio. It wouldn't sit right. You know, we sat down and looked at all the songs and said, these were the best songs. And when we did that with Bramble Rose, it was a quieter tone. And when we did that this time, it was a louder thing. Yeah. And, you know, I believe in this record, and I think these songs could stand somewhere. We'll see what happens. But you know what? I know that I'm just proud of it. So the rest of it is going to take care of itself. Yeah.
So I'm curious where you got started in music. Did you take lessons as a kid? Or you're self-taught?
I took lessons from my dad. My dad was a musician who played by ear, you know, listened to lots of Bob Dylan, had his harmonica, harp, you know, head strap. I forget what you call those things, even though I have one. And I just, on Saturdays, he would sit at the piano and play music and call me in, and I would sit beside him, and I remember my feet didn't touch the ground. And I would sing harmony with him, and it was, you know, just really special father-daughter time. And I think when I was probably 14 or so, all of the guys started playing guitar. And I thought, you know what? I think I can do that. And literally, my father taught me four chords and said, now, you can play any song in the world with those chords. That's all you need. Don't bother with the rest.
Which chords were they?
You know, like the really basic ones, G, C, D, A minor, mm-hmm. which is really, he's right.
That's great. Now, what is the first song you remember hearing or
what
singing
song?
To?
Oh, gosh. Well, I remember, wow, that's a really tough question. I remember we would sing The Dark End of the Street at the piano. And I remember driving around in the car singing Dolly Parton. You know, I'm not sure what it was, but it was Dolly Parton. And I'm sure that probably I sang in church. The feeling of having all of those people sing one thing together has always moved me. So I think probably church might,
and
too.
Maybe that's what makes you more comfortable singing with other people rather than being the solo act up on the stage.
Yeah, I've kind of gotten to like being the center of attention. I'm just kidding.
This is The State of Things, and today we're talking with North Carolina's Tift Merritt. Her new album, just out, is called Tambourine, and we'll have more of our conversation in a moment. If you'd like to join the conversation, the number here is 1-877-962-9862. But right now, let's hear a song from the new album. This one is called Still Pretending.
Here you coming up the drive. Tie a ribbon
Support for The State of Things comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners who support WUNC. This is The State of Things. I'm Melinda Pencava, and our guest today is Tift Merritt. Her new CD, Tambourine, is just out. This is Tift Merritt's second album, released by Lost Highway Records. Her first CD, Bramble Rose, received a lot of critical acclaim when it came out 2 years ago. If you'd like to join us, the number here is 1-877-962-9862. Well, you got a lot of critical acclaim from your CD that came out 2 years ago, this one too. You know, there are people who compare you to, you know, Emmylou Harris and others. In fact, even say you're better than. But
No, they don't.
But the more commercial rate success has not happened yet. Right.
Oh, well, you know, I consider my career a huge success. I'm having a ball and I'm playing music and I don't wait tables. I mean, that's a really huge accomplishment that I pinch myself for a lot.
Right. But nonetheless, you made headlines about a year or so, just over a year ago. Mm-hmm. You made the news pages, and I'm not talking about the living section or the section where music would be written about, but in the news part of the newspaper, when
the
you showed up at the federal communication hearings at Duke University, there was a debate over whether to let communication corporations own even more broadcast radio TV stations.
Right.
And some suggested that would make radio and TV stations have less of a focus on local issues. And you agreed.
Well,
saying it was hard enough for artists such as yourself to get on the air.
Right. And it was funny because I was called at the last minute, and a lot of these issues weren't getting a lot of attention, and deregulation was, they were trying to push it through really fast. So these hearings were really just to publicize what effects this would really have and what it really meant. And I think they had a really famous musician scheduled, and they canceled at the last minute. And they called me and they said, well, we need a musician. And I thought, you know, this is a really tenuous position for me because I am very grateful for the career that I have. And you don't want to complain because there are a lot of reasons that things happen the way they do. But I felt like it's true. They do need musicians to say, look, this is what it's like to be a musician. And, you know, if I sell lots of records in North Carolina, it would make sense that I would get on the radio in North Carolina. In North Dakota, not so much. And so I felt a sense of responsibility to say on behalf of musicians, look, I'm a good example of how this is a real phenomenon. And, you know, maybe the same person who owns your newspaper and your news channel and your radio station, maybe that's a little too much to control in one town.
Right. And your thing was that there were country music stations that you'd have a hard time getting on. And you were doing alternative country, which is not just here in North Carolina, but elsewhere in the U.S. You know, alternative country would have a hard time getting on a country station.
Right.
But your point was people did know you because you were playing around.
The fact of the matter was, I like to stick to the facts and keep the emotions out of it because that's the only way I can talk about this without sounding like I'm complaining, but I was selling as many records a week as Alan Jackson, and you would think in my hometown I'm a contender, you know, and it would make sense, and I just wanted to raise that point. So I think when you do have one person owning a huge string of radio stations, they are mostly concerned with the bottom line, not with the local listener. And because that's in any other business, that's kind of how it is. But radio waves are public, and so it's a little different.
So what was the upshot of you saying this, going public with this at that hearing?
I learned so much. And then I went and I spoke at another FCC hearing. And, those regulations weren't passed. They were blocked.
The further deregulation,
some of it was blocked. And, I learned so much.
So did you get on the radio, on the commercial side of radio?
I did. Okay. I did, which, it wasn't a career move, but it was just amazing that WREL and Jim Goodman, who is a fervent supporter of, radio serving the public, he put me in regular rotation at 101.5, which was amazing. Yeah.
We're talking with Tift Merritt. She's a North Carolina-based musician, had lived in the Triangle for a while, and you're now based on the beach.
I am.
Where the writing is easier?
Yeah. Well, writing's never easy, but I'm better tanned when I do it.
If you want to join the conversation, our number's 1-877-962-9862, and Fred is with us from Chapel Hill. Hi, Fred.
Hi, Fred.
Hello.
How are you?
Greetings.
I'm fine. Just want to let Tiff know that I was at the Cradle Saturday. And she sounded terrific.
Thank you.
The blues rock sound is really coming across real well.
Thank you. I'm having
a blast.
It
sounds like your heart and soul's really in that genre. So I'm hoping you get in the regular radio station rotations, as you say, all over the country with a couple of those great hits.
You are very kind, and this weekend was so special to me. So thank you for being there and being a part of it.
Well, thank you for being a local gal gone big. I mean, it's great. This area is packed with musicians.
Yes.
And you can hear so much stuff and there's so much noise, but your stuff is really coming through, and I think you're going to go places with it.
Well, Fred, I'm curious. I take it you're a fan. What is it that comes through when you listen to Tift Merritt's music?
Well, you can hear that she's singing from her heart. She's just writing stuff and. What's really neat is her music is being interpreted. I think I'm a drummer. I think it's being interpreted properly by other musicians, especially her producer, and she's picked a great group of people to go and express that, on the stage.
I'm blushing. Thank you very much. That means a lot, and I do. I'm lucky to have the people around me that I have. Thank you.
Well, thanks for your call, Fred. Thanks
okay.
so much.
Okay.
Take
go,
care.
Jeff.
Thanks. Bye.
Well, I'd like to hear, why don't we play a song from the CD? There's a song that you wrote, and I understand this is sort of a tribute. This is called Lay to Highway, mm-hmm. and it's a tribute, or it mentions things that have been going on in Chatham County.
Yes. I don't know if you're familiar with Bynum, but it's a really special town. And I was lucky enough to stumble into Bynum when I was going to school at UNC. I lived out on a farm in Pittsboro, and the closest mailbox was in Bynum. And I was trying to book the band. We had just started, and we were sending out demo tapes, and we were trying to get a gig. And I became friends with the man who runs the general store in Bynum.
Is that where the post office is?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
It's one in the same place.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. And I still have my P.O. box at the Bynum General Store, Jerry Parton. And, I just have been really lucky to have such a special friendship with him. And he's lived, in Bynum forever. And that song, I really feel guilty taking credit for writing it, because it's just about stories Jerry has told me, and it was very easy to sit down and write that song, because really Jerry wrote it for me when he told me all these stories.
Well, why don't we listen to the stories and the song? This is Tift Merritt and Lay to Highway.
Was the town took care of its own. That's what me and my children have known. I worked the mill the way my parents did. I remember this town when I was a kid. Sitting through the movies twice. Open windows.
summer heat to meet Don Miller in the middle of the street. They laid a highway a few years back, next town over by the railroad track. Some nights I'm glad it passed us by. Some nights I sit and watch my hometown. Much past a pretty young gal. The boss lit a match in the early night. Cops never had enough to set it right. So while the company traded with our lives, we were busy watching the slow moon rise, dancing on the high grass ridge, making love down by the Cedar County Bridge. They made a highway a few years back, next town over by the railroad track. Some nights I'm glad it passed us by. Some nights I sit and watch my hometown die.
That's Tift Merritt from her new CD, Tambourine. It's called Laid a Highway. Tift Merritt is talking with us today about all of this. I heard this song a couple of days ago, and that refrain has been bouncing through my head ever since.
Thanks.
And you're saying these are all based on stories that you heard in Chatham County, in Bynum.
Well, definitely things that Jerry said to me. I mean, that's his story.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, we have on the phone right now Jerry Parton.
No, you don't.
We do.
Jerry!
Hi there, Jerry Parton.
Hey, superstar.
I knew you could call in. You are such a troublemaker. How are you?
You got me choked up. I can't talk.
Oh. How are you? Thanks for
coming. I'm doing good.
Thanks for coming this weekend. I was glad
you
were
here. Oh, it was great.
Thanks.
Well, Jerry Parton owns the Bynum General Store, where Tift Merritt rented a mailbox years ago. Still does.
I still do.
And you, Jerry, you also have musicians playing on the front porch there every week?
Every Friday at 7.
Okay. And Tift, you've played there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what do you think of that song, Jerry?
Oh, I love it. It's. She called me up and told me one day she wrote me a song, but she wouldn't tell me what it was about until I heard it. Oh. And it teared me up the first time I heard it.
Yeah.
And it still does. I listen to it all the time.
Thanks, Jerry.
Well, what was it like to have, at the time when Tift Merritt first came to the Bynum General Store, I mean, she was this UNC student, right?
Yes.
And did she play at the store in those days, early on?
Yes, she came in and she was bringing all these things in and mailing them out. And I asked her, what was she doing mailing all this stuff to bars? A little young girl like her, and she says, I have a band and I'm trying to get gigs. And I said, you don't have a band. And she said, yes, I do. And I said, well, I don't believe it. And a couple of days later, she brought that little 45 in, and she said, put it on your turntable. So I played it, and she said, how do you like it? I said, I love it, but it's not you. And she said, well, how can I prove I have a band? And I said, well, the only way I know you're going to prove it is come down and play on my front porch.
We did.
At the store. And she did, and she's been playing here ever since.
Wow. And so you, as Tift was just telling us, you were the inspiration for the song "Laid a Highway." Which highway are you talking about there?
It was the original bypass for 15501. They bypassed it back when I was a young kid, and the road in front of our store used to be 15501, and they bypassed us going between Chapel Hill and Pittsboro.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there's some testimony to be had that you're still there.
Yeah, it's not easy to stay here, but with people like Tiff and her band, and they really helped support us, and they've kept us here the last 3 years.
Yeah. Well, Jerry Parton, thank you for talking with us today.
Jerry.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And I'll see you, Tiff.
I'll call you, Jerry. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for talking. Bye.
Jerry Parton is owner of the Bynum General Store in Bynum, where Tift Merritt still has her P.O. box. So this new CD has, as you've described, more of the sound of what you're like in concert.
in shows.
So. I think that's very fair to say.
Do you think that that might help you get on more and a greater variety of radio stations?
You know, I don't know. Really, at this point, it's a tough thing, but you really have to give your record away.
Give it away.
Yeah, it's the life that it's going to have in the world is there's it's not up to me totally, you know, and I really try to not read press and I try to not look at numbers and I, you know, just keep a really keep the music the focus. So, you know, I hope that it has a great life on the radio. but I realize that, you know, there's not really much control I have over that. And so I'm just going to play great shows.
Which do you prefer, the work in the studio to put a CD together or being out there playing? How many nights a year are you playing?
Well, this is all still pretty new, you know. I mean, this is only the second CD. So with Bramble Rose, we were on tour for about 6 months all the time. And then last year when we were writing, we probably did 20 shows, which isn't enough. Mm-hmm. But I hope that we'll be on tour a ton with this CD. I love playing live. And it's, you know, when I first started, I was really shy about it. And I probably was I thought about it too hard, but I didn't want to be up in front of people and ask them for their time and attention unless I really meant it. And I've really been able to get to the point where performing is just something I love. And it's so much freedom and you can just be so open in a really safe place. So I really think probably playing live is my favorite thing. I also love the private side of it, which is writing. Being in the studio is awesome, but it is really stressful.
Because you can do take after take after take, right?
Well, and if it's live, it goes out. It's expensive, and it's like there's a lot of pressure on you. I always end up, you know, having insomnia in the studio because I want it to be perfect. And this is it. We got to do it right.
We're not getting into the Lucinda Williams trap, are we?
No, well, it's more
because
like...
Because she has been a perfectionist to me. It would take years.
And you should expect a lot from your work. But I do think that... You don't get to practice being in the studio very much. I've been in the studio and made records, you know, not very much. So I hope I have a lot more records to practice making.
Well, you said a moment ago that you don't read press. And I did want to run something by you that I read that the Washington Post wrote about you. It said that you're blessed with a great big voice. And Tift Merritt does much more than just sing her songs. She inhabits them, attacks them, wrestles them to the ground.
That makes me sound like I'm sort of a brute.
a sumo wrestler with music, right?
Right.
Hardly the thing at all here. Well, why don't we hear a little bit of this right now? Your new album, Tift Merritt, is Tambourine. And as we head into a break right now, let's hear the track that gives this new CD its name. This one is called I Am Your Tambourine.
My body was sleeping. Sleep was a lie. I am your tambourine. I quiet. Oh, I can't hide.
More with Tiff Merritt just ahead, right here on The State of Things. This is The State of Things. I'm Melinda Penkov, and we're talking this hour with Tiff Merritt, North Carolina's own alt-country singer-songwriter. Her new album, Tambourine, was released last week. Tiff Merritt is here in the studio. Alt-country is what you were doing the last CD. Would you describe this new one as that, or
how would you describe this new one? That's such a hard thing. I just feel like country and rock and roll and blues and gospel and soul, it's like my dad said, it's, you know, it's like these same chords and they're all cousins, they're all family members and they need to mingle. So I just, I play really earthy roots music and it's always gone in different corners because it just happens. All these types of music are friends.
Well, the first recorded effort you put out was, and I had to ask twice when I heard this, it was a 45.
Yes.
And I didn't even know people made 45s anymore. What was? Why'd you do a 45?
Because it was cool.
But who could play it? I mean, how many people?
Well,
it
was like we only printed 500, okay. And it came with the little yellow piece that you put in the middle, and it just meant so much to us. And we, you know, I listened to LPs. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people who play music still love that warm analog LP sound, and you open the record and you pull it out and it smells old and it crackles, and it's just, we just wanted to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and I also noticed on the back of the 45, it said Oil Rig Recording.
Yes.
That was your first little record company.
Yes.
Or first ever. And the Oil Rig, that's a reference to your grandfather in Texas.
Yes, it is. He was a wildcatter and a dreamer, and I never knew. He died when I was just a few months old.
And a wildcatter, for those of us who
haven't lived
in Texas.
An independent oil man, you know, mm-hmm. very much, I think, in my mind, like James Dean in the movie Giant.
That was your granddad.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
And I always felt like we were kindred spirits. And I think Late Night Pilgrim on this record actually began as a tribute to him. It evolved into something else, but you know, I have always pictured him as a seeker that with its strengths and weaknesses, something very akin to what my heart is like.
Well, it's a high stakes kind of business, the oil business, and I think you said that he's looking for oil and he's always going broke, and then you made this analogy to being in the music business.
I guess in my mind, I never lined it up quite that literally, but I mean, that works. I just think that he was in pursuit of a dream for a really long time, and it wasn't practical. And that's pretty much what I do.
Okay. You have just shot a video.
Yes.
I guess that's part of, you know, getting greater exposure for this CD.
It's another chance to be creative. Mm. It's so fun.
Yeah. So where did you shoot the video?
Oh, Rome, Italy.
Oh, how awful for you. Why Rome?
Because the director turned in a treatment and said, I think that this is a really romantic song and we should go to Italy. And I said, I want to work with you. And they were able to work it out. And we shot in this beautiful villa from the 1500s or 1600s. And it was empty except for a grand piano. And I played guitar and it was just, I could go on and on about it. I ate amazing food. I'd never been to Italy. I felt like a princess. They closed the streets off at one point, and so the Italian police were there, and the crowd gathered around, and they mistook me for someone who was really famous, and it was just a neat day.
Now, there's nothing Italian at all about this song, because this is more that you
shot
there.
No, and you know what? It's not. It's very ambiguously monochrome and European. It's not. It's just a
the
kind
shooting,
of romantic and elegant and spare. So it wasn't that, you know, we went to St. Peter's and shot there or anything like that. It was about
getting
the
clearance
song.
Might have been a little tougher on that one, probably.
Yeah, probably.
But the song here that you shot the video for is Good Hearted Man?
Yes.
Is that right? And this is the one that the record company has hopes for being a hit?
You know, it's called the single. I don't know. We'll see. But this is the single. They choose a single off of every record. And I think I'm so happy that they chose this song, because I think it's really indicative of the record. And I like this song a lot. So I'm glad they went with that one.
Well, why don't we listen to a little bit? Good Hearted Man from Tiff Merritt.
Living free, or you couldn't talk to me, and the pride that kept me didn't want no company. Early morning subway train, feeling lost and running. I was crazy and impossible, that my love was broken, my dreams and run off wild. Patient as the easy rain, oh, you never turned away, calling, hey, sweet woman, you know.
Good Hearted Man from Tiff Merritt. Her latest CD is called Tambourine. And that's the one that you just came back from Italy.
Yes.
You shot a video. Okay, so here's the question. Did you lip sync any of that?
You know, I really sang. You do that for 12 hours and you get a little hoarse, but I think lip syncing is so goofy.
So would the video then have a version? Would it be a different version from what we hear on the CD here? Or you just were singing?
Oh, no.
So that they
you
could...
know what they do? They have it's called playback, and they have these huge speakers, and they play the song, and you sing along. So it
looks close to like
yeah,
you're actually singing.
They know what they're
hearing.
Doing, these guys.
Now, you made a comment a little while ago, Tiff Merritt. You said that when you're in Italy, it was great. You had great food.
Mm-hmm.
I'd read something that you said. You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
There was a comment to the News and Observer, I believe,
yes.
recently. While you're on tour in Colorado, that you couldn't try the local pizza there because, in your words, this is before you went to Italy
right.
to shoot the video, you were on the Svelte video diet.
Yes.
And pizza ain't on it.
No.
So are there those kind of demands? That-
yes. Oh, gosh. Nobody's ever told me that I needed to be skinny or lose weight. I'm going to Italy. I'm getting a video. I wanted to be as looking as good as I could. I'm 29. And I do find that I have to be very careful on the road, taking care of myself, just as far as my singing goes, and that I have to be careful with my diet. You can't drink too much coffee. You can't really drink if you're really going to be performing every night, because you just, it's a little like being an athlete, which is surprising to me. I thought I was just going to hang out in bars and have a party every night.
But there you are in bars and probably not drinking.
No. Well,
at least in moderate. At least in,
I don't want to paint like a false portrait. I know there's some people who are laughing right now going, yeah, no, she never has
her.
A good time. But it there is a real rigor to it that I enjoy, but it's hard. It was a surprise. I didn't know it was going to be like that.
So you're about to hit the road,
yeah,
and go on tour.
I'm cleaning up. Yeah. I am. I leave. I actually just got home. I haven't been to my house at the beach in a month, so because I've been on radio and promo tour with Italy. So this was a homecoming weekend, and then I have a few weeks off, and then we'll be on tour again.
Oh, okay. And so what kind of places are you playing? What kind of places do you like to play?
I like to play, I like to play rock clubs. I like to play the Cradle.
The Cat's Cradle in Chapel
Hill. Yeah, I mean, that's obviously my home base club. But I don't like it to be too pristine, you know. I like people to have a good time and to, you know, not be so quiet that you can't hear anything. I mean, I want people to be enjoying their night on the town. So I, but you know, it's just fun to play a lot of different places because it feels different and it brings out a different color in your performance.
Would you like someday to be playing big arenas? You know, when you get all that radio play you've been talking about?
I don't know. That's a long way off. And I think I enjoy the intimacy of where I am right now. And so that leap is awfully huge. I don't know what I would do if I was in on an arena stage. I don't have the like huge crowd moves or anything like that. So maybe that'll be something that happens naturally. And if that were to happen, I do think you go through the ranks of a bigger club than a bigger club, and it doesn't feel weird.
Well, I hope when that happens, you come back and talk to us again sometime.
Of course.
Well, Tiff Merritt, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
It's been a great pleasure.
I'm a fan, so thank you for having me.
Tiff Merritt's new CD is Tambourine, and why don't we hear one more song from that? This is called The Plainest Thing.
I found a mark where the ink bled through under a song I was writing for you, crumbled up in a drawer, stained with blue. Quiet and easy, what I wanted to prove, the plainest thing, the plainest thing. I walk right by it, it's just the plainest thing. Sun hits the floor, same as shadows with. So I sat in the light, and I stayed very still. Heat on my skin. Didn't have any questions. I didn't feel out of place. The plainest thing. The plainest thing. I walk right by it. It's just a plainest thing.
tomorrow is the first day of September, but before we turn the page of the calendar, poet Michael Chitwood reflects on the month we're leaving. Here's his poem, August.
Steam off the asphalt after a hard shower, air like a wool muffler around your neck, hummingbirds in dogfights around the red-topped feeder. Any given hour, you can hear somewhere the smack of the Rawlings in the hand-form pocket. One whiff of that glove holds a whole summer. Biscuit brown kids who've tuned their biological clocks to know exactly when the poolside snacks come out. Road crew sign man with his month-long pronouncement, slow. Sandpapering shoulders with the beach-dropped sunblock. Vegetable stalls with tomatoes that are proof of the existence of God. A teenage boy wakes at noon and reads his daily note. Don't forget to unload the dishwasher. Finches bright yellow blots in the dogwoods by the feeder. Late afternoon, the sky rumbly. Crepe myrtles kowtowed by their big blossoms. Calendar utterly without an official holiday. Some family, some reunion. The blonde silken tresses of sweet corn. The blue far-off pavilion of the sky. Soft, almost taffy parking lot. Tickle of the sweat bead tracing your spine. Saturday afternoon, mowers buzzing like a plague of locusts. Gasoline rainbow by the boat motor. Dusk for hours. And then night puts on the firefly's yellow sequins. The dark, revving like an engine, two earfuls, a racket to behold.
Poet Michael Chitwood reading his poem, August.